Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fam?
What's going on, fam? I can't believe it. We're finally back. John Salas has eaten his weight in turkey and stuffing, and my gosh, it's like the middle of December, so that's on us. Sorry about that. How are you, John Salas?
Oh, you said it right, Alex. I feel like I just ate all the turkey and I just ran out, and that's why we're back. But real quick, before we get to the nitty gritty, want to give a little shout out to our brother, Keith Arizari. Him and his family, they lost a loved one this week, so our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. And if you guys know Keith, reach out to him. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you guys. But yeah, so I had to give love to Keith. But now to the real deal.
Absolutely.
I have a bone to pick with Urban effing Meyer.
We'll get there, John. We'll get there. I there's nothing better than a good tease. But I know you're feeling weird about the Jaguars situation. I think we all are, because it's two straight weeks now that he's been underutilized. But it's uncharted territory, John Salas. It is week 14 of the NFL regular season, and it is still the fantasy football regular season. I've got a bone to pick with the fact that we have four teams on bye, pretty good ones at that, with fantasy playoff implications at stake. John Salas, what is going on with this extra regular season game? It's killing me.
You know, it would have been great if Roger Goodell and company would have thought about us fantasy owners when they were going to add another week, or maybe our commissioner or commissioners should have shortened the season. So it sucks because you look at it, you got Indy, Miami, New England. So I just want to say, if you have Jonathan Taylor on your team and you're fighting for a playoff spot right now in this last week of fantasy season, I am so sorry.
We are deeply sorry.
I don't have a lot of sympathy. If you have Jonathan Taylor and you've been scratching and clawing for a playoff spot, then you blew the rest of your draft. You were saying, John?
I think you took it out of my mouth. But yeah, it's crazy because you got a lot of playmakers. Jalen Waddle, who's slowly but surely been probably one of the top wide receivers this year. He's second in catches. Damian Harris, a lot of guys are out. And Miles Sanders, Philadelphia is out. He's finally getting back to his old self with Boston Scott out or sick, whatever you want to, however you want to call it. But it sucks. But I will say in our league, Mr. Hardy, I don't have to worry about that. Neither do you, because we're number one and number two, respectively.
That would change if I were to lose and you were to win, John. So I am scrambling to replace Jalen Hurts. That's the hard part. It's one thing if you have a Jonathan Taylor, a Jalen Waddle, Damian Harris, the types of guys that you've been plugging in, and you may have depth. But when I only carried one quarterback and one tight end, and you lose the likes of a Jalen Hurts or a Dallas Goedert, it gets hard. I mean, who else is with me with this Carolina Panthers stack? I'm riding Cam Newton just to make sure I can hold on to that number one overall seed. I mentioned the Miami Dolphins, and Jalen Waddle, certainly been the top line receiver. May not have the same amount of fantasy cachet, but I want to bring up his teammate, Mac Hollins, in the receiving corps, John Salas. Simply put, this was the best piece of audio that I heard all week. Mac Hollins was on his way out of the Miami Dolphins facility and was simply asked, what are you doing for your bye week? And he said, well, I'm thinking of adding a new pet. I'm going with a snake or a gator. And that stopped everybody, myself included, in their tracks.
What do you do with a pet alligator? Just look at it?
Yeah, like feed it. You can walk it if you want. You can carry it. Like I have the snakes now, but they don't chew up my house like dogs do, you know? I don't have to clean up their poop as much as dogs do. They don't bark. They don't keep me up at night. And they don't fake like they're going to protect me if a robber came in, even though they probably would.
They don't eat you either.
Gators won't. They won't bother because I got the little
ones. Salas is a multiple-time dog owner. Mac Hollins, shots fired?
I mean, at least when I go to sleep at night, I don't have to worry about my dog coming up and killing me in the middle of the night like a snake at that thing or get out of the cage.
You've told me multiple times that one of those dogs will sit on your head and you'll suffocate in the middle of the night. That's a real thing.
Hey, it's real commitment because remember, happy dog, happy human.
I don't want to call Mac Hollins a dog hater, but I'll just let him kind of clarify why reptiles over dogs.
I would love to have a dog. So I ended up getting the snakes in college because everybody gets a dog. And then we go to training camp and we stay in this hotel for a month. And all the guys were like, hey, girl that I'm talking to at the time, can you take care of my dog? And then she's like, yeah, of course. And then the first week goes by, and she's like, this is, I don't want to take care of this dog all day. So she's like, I can't take care of it. He tries to get somebody to take care of it. Neither of them take care of it. They come home, the house is ruined. They're paying rent at some place. They get kicked out. So it was like, why not get a snake who's everything's set? Like, I could leave for a month and they'd be fine.
I mean, he has a fair point, but also, you know, you got to be smarter with your dogs. If you can't take care of them, if you know you have someone that's not going to be able to take care of them, don't get a dog. Simple as that, right? But hey, a pet alligator would be great. Because like you said, like someone comes to rob you and you see an alligator there, I'm walking straight back out that door and saying next house.
Next house. Speaking of the next house, how about the next team in South Florida, John Salas? We're talking about somebody not doing their job, whether it's somebody who's not doing enough research before buying a dog. I'll just get right to it. Urban Meyer, James Robinson. What happened where we had the best offensive weapon for the Jaguars finishing with 8 carries for 29 yards when you're Ram it. Blew out those Jacksonville Jaguars in week 13.
Yeah, and it sucks because as a James Robinson owner in one league, I really needed him to, you know, pull through. And that Carlos Hyde touchdown should have been a James Robinson touchdown. So I'm sitting at SoFi just pulling whatever hairs left on my head, just saying that should have been James Robinson. That should have been James Robinson. That should have been James Robinson. The dude fumbled. Like, boo-hoo. It's not like it was his fault. The thing got punched out of his hand, and the ball goes flying 30 yards. Like, Urban Meyer sucks. Like, I just don't get it. Like, he's your best player. Trevor Lawrence said it this week that James Robinson's our best player. He needs to be on the field. Like, is Urban Meyer just scratching his butt? The SC job's already been taken, buddy. You're stuck in the NFL. So, let's feed James. Let's keep feeding James. And Carlos Hyde, get him out of here. Like, Urban Meyer was lucky I wasn't one of those fans that go on the field and go crazy, because I was going to get the playbook. I was going to take it over, and I was going to feed James Robinson myself.
A couple things, John Salas. Did you say Urban Meyer picking butts? No, never mind. We'll move on. The second week in a row where James Robinson has been put in Mac Hollins's reptile house or Urban Meyer's dog house. They've been itching to get him off the football field, opting for, you know, players he's had at Ohio State like Carlos Hyde. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to anybody. Aaron Donald, the 2-time defensive player of the year, 3-time defensive player of the year. I don't even know. He punches the football out, like you said. And what do they get for putting Carlos Hyde in his place? He fumbles the football too. So it's just beyond me why Urban Meyer is making these decisions and then sheepishly punting to his running backs coach in the press conferences. It's 2 weeks in a row that we've done this. I'm certainly nervous with the division matchup in Tennessee against that great defensive line. But there's one thing we know for sure. They're going to be coming from behind. Fool me once, shame on Urban Meyer. Fool John Salas twice, shame on Urban Meyer. You just hope it doesn't happen a third time.
Jaguars picks, they say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit.
Been 20 years since then.
Week 14 is put up or shut up time for fantasy football and a number of division matchups that we'll get to, but there's a few matchups in general. Maybe with the Tennessee Titans, you're interested with Jeremy McNichols and Julio Jones returning to practice this week. I don't know, but there's either matchups or particular players within those matchups that John Salas, you think that by playing them will get you into your fantasy football playoffs. So I'll start with you. Is there a game you want to circle? Any number of fantasy football performers that are going to put you and your team over the edge into the postseason?
Yeah, so there's one guy I actually want to point out, and he hasn't really been talked about a lot this year, which is kind of insane to me. Hollywood Brown in Baltimore has been having a very solid year. He's put up double-digit fantasy points every week, probably besides like 3 or 4 weeks. This guy who was just supposed to be a deep ball threat has became Lamar Jackson's legit number one guy. In the past 2 weeks, he's had 17 targets, 12 catches for 106 yards. That plays, ladies and gentlemen, and he is going to kill it. He hasn't had a touchdown in a couple games. That's fine. Cleveland's pass defense is not that great. And what could be a potential just Lamar Jackson throwing the ball here? I can see Hollywood getting at least 20 points here with at least two touchdowns, and he'll ride you right into the playoffs and probably win you a championship.
Yeah, you mentioned those last couple of games, one of those matchups being the 16-10 victory over, that's right, the Cleveland Browns. 10 targets in that one. That was the fourth of a four-game stretch where he had at least 10 targets. And then against Pittsburgh, 7 targets, 5 catches, 55 yards. Hollywood Brown is definitely somebody who's probably been your flex. He should at least stay there, that's for sure. This is the low-hanging fruit, John Salas. But my guy, Alvin Kamara, he is back. And Mark Ingram was just placed on the COVID list on Wednesday, and they've got the New York Jets. So any piece of this Saints offense, no, just Alvin Kamara. I don't want Lil Jordan Humphrey. I don't want Marquez Callaway. I don't want Taysom Hill either. That mallet finger is something that scares me. Apparently not as severe as what required surgery for Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited. But that being said, the threat of that setback coming at any point, he could be knocked out in the first quarter of the game. You just wouldn't know. Plus, he had 4 interceptions against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. So if you've been holding on to Alvin Kamara, great. If you're thinking that, you know, they'll slow play his return, you think there are other weapons in the Saints offense to have, I just won't go for it. I just won't go for it whatsoever. So I'll take a slightly bigger risk. And I picked up Khalil Herbert this week, John Salas. David Montgomery was held out of practice for a majority of this week with 1, a shoulder injury, 2, a groin injury, 3, a glute injury. Justin Fields is cleared to return, so no more red rifle, at least for the foreseeable future. Khalil Herbert, I think, is getting slotted into my starting lineup. He will be in a flex position for me as the Packers-Bears are on Sunday Night Football, but worth noting that Jair Alexander and Preston Smith likely returning for the Packers defense. So just a couple of names in particular, although I think, John, you're noticing a trend not only for week 14 with their matchup, but a couple matchups that could carry you through the postseason.
Yeah, so this Chargers D, man, okay, if you're sitting in postseason contention already and you're already there and you're trying to maybe figure out how to look ahead, like you said, check this out. This week, Chargers play the Giants. Good chance for the defense to put up some points. Week 15, depending how your views on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are at this point, I think the Chiefs are trending upwards, so I would bench the Chargers defense. But
no, really?
Hey, you never know what Pat Mahomes are getting in 2021. Hot take. Hottest take of the century. Holy moly. And then after the Chiefs, you got week 16, Houston. Tyrod Taylor probably going to be done for the year. He's got a torn ligament in his hand. Start. Week 17, you got Teddy Bridgewater in the mess up in Denver. Must start. If Denver is sitting in your waiver wire as you are listening to this podcast, go to your apps, get them on your team now. You may not play in week 15, but they're going to be a great long-term defense. And if depending when your finals are, if they're week 16, that's Houston. That's amazing. And if it's week 17, I'll say it one more time, it's Denver. So Chargers defense, get them while you can. San Diego, Super Chargers,
San Diego, Chargers. I'd be remiss before we move on to Thursday Night Football, John Salas. Any thoughts on your guy, Jared Goff, and the Detroit Lions' first win of the 2021 season?
D-Town. Oh, Detroit.
Oh, my gosh. What a moment. You know, we don't like to talk about our ex-girlfriends or boyfriends here a lot on the podcast, but I feel like this is the appropriate time. You know, Jared Goff, ex of me and the Rams. So like I mentioned earlier, I was at the Rams game, and at commercial, they showed the highlight of Jared Goff throwing that game winning pass. And I, let me tell you, SoFi Stadium erupted. I thought we were going to riot in excitement. That game that we were watching in LA probably should have just been postponed because Jared Goff stole the show. So I'm going to say one last thing on these damn Lions. We're talking about guys who can maybe win you a week. Don't sleep on Josh Reynolds. Jared Goff's former teammate in LA is now with him in Detroit. He's put up back-to-back double-digit fantasy points. He is sitting pretty at 12 targets, 7 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah, they play a good Denver defense, but there's chemistry between Goff and Reynolds, and it's been showing. The chemistry between Goff and Reynolds is there. and you can't throw the ball to TJ Hockenson all the time or Jamal Williams or DeAndre Swift. So keep Josh Reynolds in the back of your mind coming into this late run here in fantasy.
The Detroit Lions came to prominence. They celebrated their first victory at the expense of the Minnesota Vikings, who play host to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football. It's my opinion that they've quit on Mike Zimmer. There's not a whole lot to salvage here, except for the unfortunate news that Adam Thielen likely avoiding ankle surgery, but still going to miss some time. Justin Jefferson, without Thielen there, had a career day, 11 catches, career high, 189 receiving yards and a touchdown. He's going to eat. He's going to help you win week 14. However, if you need a second passing option in that offense, it comes down to the age-old question, KJ Osborne versus the tight end Tyler Conklin. I'm going to side with KJ Osborne. He's run more routes now than he had when we last asked this question on the podcast. The Minnesota Vikings defense has played poorly enough to where they're in pass-happy situations. Tyler Conklin blocking more than KJ Osborne running routes. So I'm just leaning towards the wide receiver. He steps up when he steps into the outside for the Vikings offense.
You know what? As I was sitting here and we're talking about this throughout all day, all week, and when we are coming into the pod, thinking about this here, I have no problem with either of these guys. I was sitting on it all week. We've been talking about it. I mean, with Adam Thielen healthy and in the lineup and on the field, they're still getting at least 5 to 6 targets and Justin Jefferson. So everybody was eating. Now you eliminate Adam Thielen, unfortunately. And I just see one of these guys getting a touchdown and putting up at least 50 yards. They both might. Justin Jefferson's obviously going to take the load, but I mean, KJ Osborne might have already been gone, depending what type of league you're in. And Tyler Conklin might be gone too, but whoever's there, if they're available, get them, plug them in. I can't really think of any other options, especially with the bye weeks we got right now.
Pittsburgh Steelers offense had a nice little comeback victory. They played well against the Baltimore Ravens. Deontay Johnson, of course, in your must-start territory. Pat Freiermuth continuing his success, showing us how thin that tight end position is. Chase Claypool against this Vikings secondary. Do you start or sit him?
That's a coin flip. It just depends what kind of Big Ben you're getting that, you know, you're going to get that week. Cause I'm looking at it last week, only 3 targets, 2 catches. And then the other weeks it's like 5, maybe 9, 8. He gets 15 early on in the season. Now that I'm talking about it and I'm speaking this into existence, I think I'm out. I think Big Ben, he's leaving Pittsburgh. I think he's over it. Steelers suck. If you're not Najee Harris or Deontay Johnson, I think I'm out. Yeah, bench him.
So the Vikings rank in the bottom 10 in terms of yards allowed. And then what I like in particular for a Chase Claypool matchup is that they've allowed an NFL's, they're tied for 3rd worst in the league, allowing 12.5 yards per reception for opposing players. Again, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think 12 yards down the field would be like a deep ball for Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career. But it's boding well in a plus matchup for Claypool. If you're going boom or bust, I think we're leaning towards the boom category. But head-to-head, I think KJ Osborne ends up with more targets. Chase Claypool ends up with more yardage. You tell me which one you'd probably prefer. So that's Thursday Night Football. I'm pumped for your Rams on Monday Night Football, trying to get back at those Arizona Cardinals, John Salas. We will talk about that. We will talk about Davis Mills coming back for the Houston Texans against the Seattle Seahawks. That will be brutal. I am firing up the Seahawks defense in a couple of leagues because I don't get my New England Patriots this weekend. What am I going to do with myself, John Salas? I don't have my Patriots, and I don't have my QB1, Jalen Hurts, for week 14.
You're going to be joining Staff Daddy, Cup Monster, and us when we ram it through Arizona and Kyler Murray on Monday. Mr. Hardy, Keith, we love you, buddy.
Love you, Keith. That's John Salas. I'm Alex Hardy, and this is Fantasy Football. We're going to catch you in the playoffs. Don't go anywhere. See ya.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.